for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, December the 26th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Marzulla, Jr., is the teacher of the evening. Brother Frank had been here before with his father, but this is the first time he's back to minister in his own right, and we're just happy to have him come. We appreciated his dad and knew him for many, many long years. And I can't remember, I was talking to Frank here, trying to remember when I first met his dad back in the 60s, I think, I'm not for sure, when we were down at the Full Gospel meetings in Florida. But the Lord's blessed Frank Jr. here with the anointing to minister and to teach. And we just appreciate him coming and being with us for a few days this time. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Somebody told me when I was a youngster, actually my parents took me to a Derek Prince meeting, and Derek Prince laid hands on me and cast a demon out of me. I thought he was crazy. You know? And I was running for a long time after that. But there was a woman in that meeting that prophesied over me who said I was going to be a preacher. And I didn't believe her at that time either. So if someone gives you a word and they say to you, "Thus saith the Lord," it may not come to pass right away, but it will come to fruition. It'll happen. If it's a godly woman, something will happen to you. You will come to know what that means later on down the road in your life. How many people have had a word given to them? A word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, somebody spoke prophetically into your life or imparted something. Did it happen right away? Maybe. But most of the time it happens down the road after the life experiences accumulate. And so it was with me too. And for many years my dad preached to me and I was running away from him. My mom preached to me, I was running away from her. And lo and behold, the Lord brought me a Baptist girlfriend, and I couldn't run away from her. But I was getting the gospel all over the place. I was getting it left and right. But guess what? In the day of my salvation, everything they ever said stuck. It was like it all came together. And that's the way it is in prophecy too. You know, I'm taking a side road. I hope you don't mind. There's a scripture. Let's see if I can find it really quick here before I get into the Word for no extra charge, okay? And it's found in Isaiah. I can't find it really quick. So there's a word that the Lord says that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters. There have been words that have been spoken over you. This is Isaiah 54, verse 17, if you're one of those who write things down, or if you want to circle this in your Bible. Isaiah 54, 17. There are words that have been spoken over your lives or into your lives that were weapons that were formed against you. Tell me why Satan hates you. Why? Because you were created in God's image. That's why. That's why he hates you. And he's got, just like God's got plans for you, the Lord has plans for your welfare and not your calamity. Guess what? Satan's got plans for you too. He's got war plans on his desk for you, against you, schemes for against you, to trap you, to snare you, to make you stumble. But the Bible declares in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of who? The servants of the Lord, the saints of the Lord. That's you. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. In other words, you're not going to vindicate yourself. God's going to vindicate you. That's your right. That's your privilege as a servant of the Lord. Now, setting that as a stage, I'm going to talk to you tonight about curses. Have you ever heard someone say that it's in their blood? They've got bad blood. Oh, it's a trait of theirs. It's a characteristic of theirs. Oh, their mother had it. Their grandfather did it. Have you ever heard anything like that? Anybody ever speak that over your life? Oh, you're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. You're like Uncle so-and-so, Aunt so-and-so. And it runs in the family. Well, I tell you what, those may be curses that were spoken into your life and over your life by a well-meaning parent or a well-meaning friend. But actually, they became curses because if it didn't happen, guess what? They spoke something into your life, and it did. And sooner or later, you're acting like Uncle so-and-so. You're acting like Aunt so-and-so or your dad or your mom or something like that. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Exodus 34. Let's turn there together. I want you to see something about God. And this also relates to curses too. Exodus 34 and verse 6 through 7. It says, "Then the Lord passed in front of him." Who? Moses. I want you to catch this now. The Lord passed in front of Moses and he proclaimed. Now catch this. The Lord, he says, this is his title, by the way. The Lord God. Compassionate, gracious. This is God's DNA. Listen carefully. The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. Verse 7. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives, catch this now, he forgives what? Iniquity, transgression, and sin. He forgives three things here. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation. Are you catching this? He visits the what? But what does he forgive? Iniquities. Are you catching this? There's something here in iniquities I want you to focus in on. God is fair, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's kind, he's compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger. But on the other hand, he's also right. He's a righteous judge. He will not allow sin, transgression, and iniquity to go unpunished. He won't allow it to go unpunished. Unfortunately, it travels down through generational lines, too. What's this? These are my mints here. Okay, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to fall. Why are they falling? Gravity. Just like there's a physical law, there's spiritual law, too. Just like there's a physical law, there's a spiritual law. God will not allow things to go unpunished. But I want to tell you, it's going to be doom and gloom here for a little while, but we're going to come to grace at the very end, okay? So don't get all sourpuss on me now. All right? I'm going to show you grace at the very end. But first I want to show you the schemes of the enemy, how he wants to trap you, snare you through the things of your ancestors and through iniquity that you have done as well. The Bible dictionary states that lawlessness, by the way, let me back it up, that sin is an offense against the laws of God, wickedness, a wicked act. Sin is an offense against the laws of God, wickedness, a wicked act. And lawlessness is a transgression of God's will, either by omitting to do what God's law requires or by doing what it forbids. Are you catching this? Sin can occur now in three ways. I want to show you the three ways that sin can occur. We're going to go to sin now. Sin can be in thought. 1 John 3:15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You see, hate is an emotion. That comes where? In your mind. If you hate somebody, it's in your mind. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So here we see sin working in the mind. It wasn't said, it wasn't done, it's just working in the mind. You can hate somebody, and it's sin. If you think of that, you can take that word to the bank. Many of us sin while we're sitting still, doing nothing. Now you can sin that way, you can sin in word. You can sin in word this way, Matthew 5:22. Jesus says this to us, "But I say to everyone who is angry with his brother, shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now here we have sin to be done in thought and sin to be spoken. Now here's another way it happens. Sin happens indeed. Romans 1:32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give heartily approval to those who practice them. Now you see the three ways you can do this? You can do it indeed also, by word and by thought. And that's sin. Now, I'm going to talk to you about iniquity. Iniquity is what we were focusing in on. Remember, God forgives iniquity, but yet He doesn't let it go unpunished. Here's iniquity. Iniquity is a state of wickedness. This is by Webster's Dictionary. It's a state of wickedness, a wicked act, a great injustice. The Bible dictionary describes iniquity as unrighteousness or lawlessness, a moral or legal wrong. 1 Corinthians, you'll find that in 1 Corinthians 13:6. Or it's a depravity in general. And you'll find it also in Genesis 15:16 and Psalm 51:1. It is also knowing the right thing to do and then not doing it. That's iniquity. Let me put that in proper language for you to understand what iniquity is. It's knowing the right thing to do and then not doing it. How many have ever done that besides me? All right, a few in here. Okay. I knew the right thing to do and I didn't do it, either by fear or not wanting to do it for somebody out of impure motive. That's iniquity. Now, God punishes iniquity to the third and fourth generations. We just read that. And He repeats it, the same thing again in Numbers 14:18. He repeats that law again. And He repeats it again one more time in Exodus 20, verse 5. So you're going to find that in three places in the Bible. Exodus 20, verse 5. You're going to find it in Numbers 14:18. He visits the iniquities of the children of the third and fourth generation to those that hate Him. And so we see Him visiting and those who hate Him. Now, we always think that means idolaters. Does that mean idolaters? Does it mean idolaters? We just think that means that it's somebody that's worshiping another god. I want to tell you something. If you're operating in a spirit of stubbornness, catch this now. If you're operating in a spirit of stubbornness, it's the same thing as idolatry. If you don't believe me, turn to 1 Samuel 15:23 and read it for yourself. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Whoa, they're linked together. They're linked together. Stubbornness and idolatry are linked together. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, how about this? I know I'm right. I'm not going to confess. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's stubbornness. That's idolatry. You know what that is? That's you exerting your self-will over what the right thing to do. That makes you above God. When you exalt yourself above the right thing to do. That's stubbornness and idolatry. And so we see that's iniquity. That is iniquity. That's a form of it. A stubborn person risks the anger of the Lord and punishment of the Lord, not only on them, but on their children. Just because you didn't do the right thing when you knew how to do it, you could actually cause things to come upon your children to the third and fourth generation, those that hate the Lord, hate doing the right thing. Now, that's just one curse that goes for four generations. There are curses on iniquities that go 10 generations. And I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 23, if you will. And we'll go to, you got your Bibles? Who does not have a Bible here? Would you please scoot over next to somebody and share a Bible? I need you to see this with your own eyes. And just don't take the word of the preacher, because sometimes I make a terrible blunder. I really do. And I quote the wrong scripture, and I need somebody to throw something at me. So here we go to Deuteronomy 23, and we'll go to... Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Thank you, Lord. So, we have We have a sin that goes 10 generations. No one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So we have one for sin and one for iniquity. We see that. We saw that just recently here. Now, I'd like you to take it down to... Let's keep on rolling with this. Shall enter verse 3. No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord. Hear why. Because they did not meet with you with food and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. My goodness. So we have an iniquity that goes 10 generations for immoral behavior that caused a child to come into this world, called illegitimate birth. And we got the same thing happen, that they caused iniquity by knowing the right thing to do and didn't do it. They didn't go out and feed the army, the people of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt. So we have an iniquity following on these tribes of people, and because they hired a prophet to come and speak against them. How many of you have spoken against the children of Israel sometime in your life? How many have ever said, oh, those New York Jews? I'm just me? Come on! How many have ever said stuff like that in their life? Oh, they're acting like Jews. Okay? Am I getting down here? Am I talking to the right crowd? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set you guys free. I'm not here to confess my sins. Alright? I want to set you free. I want to teach you something. You guys have learned the way of the world and got caught up in the ways of the world. But there is freedom and truth. The truth shall set you free. However, the application of the truth is really what sets you free. So we're going to apply this truth to the truth. We're going to apply this and apply it tonight to the truth of what we learn. All right, so here we go. We got these people, and they have caused iniquity to fall on them, and they're cursed along with the illegitimate birth of people. No Amorite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. Wow. Because they did not meet with them and feed them along the way. If someone in your family, all the way back 10 generations, cursed a Jewish person, guess what? Iniquity falls. Boom, 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 boom. All the way down 10 generations. Isn't that something? Just like gravity. Just like a spiritual law. So you could have done absolutely nothing. You could be a saint, which we all are, thank you, Jesus. But you could have done absolutely nothing, never spoke a word against the children of God, and then you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I plagued with all these things? What's going on? I can never get ahead. I always seem to be at the bottom of the barrel when the time comes right. Well, who else is the children of God? You. That's right. We're Christians. We were grafted into, guess what? Israel. Boom. Because we love Jesus Christ. I know that kind of throws you through a loop, doesn't it? You thought Jesus was Christian, didn't you? No. Guess what? He was Jewish. He was Jewish from the day he was born to the day he died. And guess what? We are grafted into the tree of life, Israel, because of what Christ did for us. Have you ever spoken bad about the children of God, Christians? Oh, those Baptists over there. They don't dance. They don't speak in tongues. I don't believe they're saved. Have you ever said anything bad about another church group? Yeah. Just me? Okay. It's going to be just me tonight. All right. Yeah. Okay, guess what you did? You cursed the children of God. Whoa. Wow. They're children of God, just like you're the children of God. And so therefore, generational curse starts then. Boom, boom. 10 generations more. You cursed yourself. You cursed the generational curse. You cursed your kids. You cursed your ancestors. Wow. Well, okay, but I don't want you to dwell on that because we're going to break all this tonight. Amen? Right? And it took a New York Jew to show me that I had prejudice in my heart towards Jewish people. We as Christians, we think we don't, but you know, something eats at you when there's a Jewish thing, celebration going on. That's prejudice. That's hate. That's anti-Semitic. That's a spirit of anti-Semitism. You see? And we think, well, that's them over there and we're us over here. Wrong. Beep. Wrong answer. You know, we're the same body, even though they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. We know Him as Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we're going to take care of that tonight. We're going to break that curse. Okay, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And so, that's what God says in Genesis 12:3. So, if you ever cursed a Jewish person, guess what? God curses you. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. That's Genesis 12:3, if you want to write that one down. Now, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were cursed 10 generations for cursing the children of Israel. And I just shared that with you, so we'll just skip over that one. Okay, Numbers 14:22. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Everybody say different spirit. This is what we're going to learn tonight, a different spirit. And he has followed me fully, and I will bring into the land which he has entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now, guess what? For not listening to the Lord, you don't take possession of the land. For not listening to the Lord and for spurning Him. What does spurning mean? Oh, He doesn't really mean that today. That was Old Testament stuff. That's spurning the Lord. You hear me? You know? And so guess what? You don't get to possess the land because you spurn. Oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, He didn't really mean that. That was for them people back. How about this one? This is for a different dispensation of time. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in directions like this today. That was for another dispensation of time. That's spurning the Lord. They'll never possess the land. As long as you spurn the Lord, you never possess it. So, what we need to do is understand. We can curse ourselves. We can curse ourselves. Or accept the curse or be cursed. Now, of course, we're going to, at the very end, I'm going to break all these things, and I'm going to teach you how not to do this. Amen? Okay, so let's move along here. I've got a lot of ground to cover. We have to have a different spirit like Caleb, one who followed God fully. Fully, that's a key word, fully. He blessed, he was blessed, and all his descendants were blessed. And so when we don't follow God fully, we can lose out on a blessing. Now, where's that famous scripture by that Italian prophet? Yeah, there's an Italian prophet in here. You don't believe me? His name is Malachi. Yeah, Malachi. It was the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. What's that? Malachi? Oh, I thought it was Malachi. Right. I thought he was Italian all this time. All right, let's go to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Everybody likes to go to Malachi 3 and that famous verse about tithing, but we're going to get to that too. But Malachi 2 declares, if you do not listen, here's that word again, listening to the Lord. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you. Whoa, stop there. Hold the bus. If you don't listen and you don't take it to heart and give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, and then I will send a curse upon you. And here's number one. And I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Does it say something different in your Bible? Okay. Behold, verse 3, I'm going to rebuke your offspring. Whoa, that's your children. That means corrupt your seed. And I will spread refuge, dung on your faces, the refuge of your feast, and you will be taken away with it. Why? Why? Because of not honoring the Lord, His name. Not honoring the name of the Lord. And if you don't listen to God, you know, I give honor to His name. Your children are cursed. Your praises are coming out of your mouth. Shall be like manure to the Lord. Can you imagine that? People who spurn the name of the Lord and don't listen to Him, or curse the name of the Lord, or don't take Him to heart. Okay, now we'll go to another chapter in Malachi 3. Stay right there with me. We're almost done. About 3 hours and 45 minutes from now. All right. Malachi 3 and verse 8. And we'll go to this one. And now, I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm going to give you a testimony. And I want you to hear my testimony first. And then I'm going to read the scripture to you. I did not tithe fully when I first became a Christian. I did not tithe fully when I was 5 years into being a Christian. I did not tithe fully when I was 10 years into being a Christian. I did not tithe fully when I was 20 years into being a Christian. And guess what? I was always living short, never reaching what I wanted to get. Never always up, trying to get to that point, save up for this, and then bam, the car would break down. Save up for that, the water heater would break down. Save up for this, somebody's sick in the family, has to go to the hospital. Save up for this, trying to get there, I can never get there. And I'm a Christian 20 years, and I'm just tipping God. I'm not giving Him what He deserves. I'm not giving Him a tithe, which means 10%. Now, I know there's a lot of doctrine on this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The gospel truth is God says, test me. He says, test me. If that's for me, I want a pepperoni and mushroom pizza. God says, will a man rob God? Malachi 3, 8 through 9. Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Stop there, look up at me. You could be cursed with a curse. Do you think Satan's cursing you? No. God's cursing you for robbing Him. That's terrible when you think about it, isn't it? Here you think you're, you know, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a daddy. I want a new Cadillac. Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I need that. Daddy, I want this. And then when it comes time to pass the bucket around, I'm not saying this for my behalf. I'm saying this for you because I want to set you guys free. Wherever you live, whatever state you came from, I want to set you free in this principle. This is a spiritual law, just like gravity. If you reach into your pocket, and sometimes when the basket comes around, we got very long pockets and very short arms. You know? And when we you like that one, huh? How about this one? There was a man who was about to be baptized. And he got me going now, sister. There's a man to be baptized, and he's ready to be baptized, and the preacher says to him, now everything that goes in the water and comes up out of the water belongs to the Lord. So he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he starts to dunk the guy in the water, and the guy reaches in his pocket, pulls his money out over his head so he doesn't get into the water. Are you like that? I was like that for 20 years. I was like that for 20 years. And all of a sudden, just because I wanted to obey God, I said, okay, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to obey God. And I tithe, and it hurt. Because I was truthfully tithing from what it really was supposed to be. And I'll be, but the next day, a blessing came. And I happened to see that computer that I wanted so dearly. Somebody gave me the money for it and says, I'm earmarking that for a computer for you. See, I can never get a computer. I couldn't get there. I was being robbed. Satan was robbing me. Remember what his job is? On his job application, it says, I rob, steal, and destroy, kill, and destroy. Yeah. That's what he did. He robbed me as a Christian for 20 years. And so, all of a sudden, I saw the principle come into play. Oh, okay. And then, a couple of days later, I was there when that person who blessed me, somebody walked up and handed them a check out of the clear blue sky for three times the amount that he blessed me for. And so, I saw two principles working here. I saw robbing God. Okay, I won't rob God. I'll tithe. And guess what? He rebukes the enemy. And then he pours, and it says further on down here, that he will pour out a blessing. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe to my storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. And if not, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Man, I'm telling you, I was blessed beyond belief. Actually, God opened up the windows of heaven and blessed me. And then I saw the other principle of give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, running over, on the guy who blessed me. So these principles, these are spiritual laws, by the way, and I want to share them with you so that you are not robbed anymore and that you are not cursing yourself anymore. You see? And then let God do the rest. And then he goes on to say, says in verse 11, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine and the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. Now, many of you, and myself included, wanted to cast demons out and command this out and command that out. But guess what? The Lord can't even do a good job on that with you unless you are tithing properly. Because then he rebukes the devourer. I tell you, if you want your ministry to blossom and grow, start tithing and watch the Lord get behind you and rebuke the devourer. Amen? 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 Amen. God, tough crowd, Glenn. Praise God. So anyway, what I want to share with you is that Satan wasn't the guy that was putting the curse on you. It was God for you not tithing the real way. Just tithe. Let's see. Tithe and be blessed. Don't tithe and be cursed. Let's see. No, tithe. Really, brothers and sisters, tithe. Tithe. Now, let's see what happens here. I'm going to skip over some things because I know that you know a lot of stuff already here. Like, I have seen people that are cursed with generational curses and poverty. Have you seen that? Have you ever seen people in poverty? You see the poverty line coming right down through the generational line? That's because I believe that with all my heart, that they're either involved with idolatry, or that's self-love, or they're involved in letting Satan rob them of their blessings. And they could be just tithing, and that could solve the whole problem. Amen? Now, there's other traditions and other teachings that place a curse on people. This could have come down through your generational line. Maybe you could have had a person who wasn't tithing in your generational line that causes maybe your tithing. But maybe there's other things that happen in your generational line that causes things to come down. Other teachings and cults and Mormonisms, Masons, Buddhist. Many of you come from different backgrounds and different families. Some people may have come from a New Age movement or may be involved in it yourself. You may have different philosophies in life. Everybody has a different philosophy. And they got that from someplace. False religions and cults and so forth and so on. Let's go back and visit something here. No, let's not. Let's keep on going. I'm going to, for sake of time. We know that in Exodus 20, verse 5, it says, I will visit the iniquities of the children of the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. How many people do you think that is? Come on, somebody take a guess. No? You got four generations. You have yourself, you have a parent, they each have two parents each, if you do, if it was done right, right? Two parents each on both sides, that's four people. Then you take it to 16 people, then you take it to 32 people. You have 32 people involved in a four-generational curse. Are you catching that? 72? And a 72 that I skip on?
72
and four generations? 32, 74. 74. 74. And then, if you take it to 10 generations, you have 1,024. 1,024. So there's a lot of people that could be involved in a 10-generational curse, as you can see. And a four, too, right. So what we have is we have people that we're not accountable to, but we're accountable to. You know, what my God bless my parents, God bless my grandparents, and my great-grandparents and all that. Who knows what in the world they were involved in? Who knows? I can remember one time my dad telling me that his mother took a bowl and put it on his head and dropped a bowl of water and dropped a little oil in it to cure him of a cold or something. I mean, what was that? It was Italian witchcraft is what it was. I'm serious. Who knows what your ancestors were involved in? No? So, let's just say that when we go tonight, when we start casting these demons out, when we start breaking generational curses, that everybody take part in it and say, oh, that wasn't for me. Don't spurn God, you know. When we start doing this, let everybody get involved in it and take part in it, because then you never know who sets you free. I mean, Jesus is going to set you free, but you never know where in your generational line that something happened. I was breaking generational lines one day, curses and generational lines, and I got somewhere around the sixth or seventh generation. This woman yelled out something. She started screaming, foaming at the mouth. And so it was in the seventh generation that this woman had a curse in there. I have no idea what it was, and she had no idea, but something left her in the seventh generational curse that was there. So as we do it, just kind of hang in there with it. Okay, so we know that what is in the Old Testament is just as new as in the New Testament. It's just as good. It's good stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff. It's truth from cover to cover. And some say, oh, I don't believe that. That's in the Old Testament. Don't buy that. Don't fall into that trap. It's truth from cover to cover. Someone might say, well, it's all under the blood now. It's all under the blood. You know, it's all under blood. Well, what's under the blood? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in it, in Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. All right? Has everybody on this earth said that? No. Only the ones that applied that biblical truth that applies to. Right? Now, since nobody on this, all the people on this earth haven't said it, it takes faith to say it and to be saved. But some will say in this also, they'll say in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. That's also a Bible truth too. But guess what? That has to be applied also. The same way as John 3:16 has to be applied. You see, truth is truth. But unless you apply it to your life, it won't set you free. Truth will set you free when it's applied to your life. When it's applied to you. So, when we say that, for it is written, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, we have to apply that to the curse. Are you catching this? So that has to be applied. You have to apply that thing to the curse for it to set you free. All right, so let's see. Now there's more. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. There's more. I hope you guys still like me when I'm all done here. But I got set free of that man-pleasing spirit, so I can go on. Deuteronomy 27 and 28. There are where God has cursed man for certain behaviors. And there are other curses that man has placed on man. But I want you to read some things with me. Verse 11. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, "When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim and bless the people." And then he goes on and tells who's going to be there. Verse 13. And for the curse, these shall stand on Mount so-and-so, Ebal. And then he gives the names of those people. Now go to verse 15. Who makes an idol of a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all of the people shall answer, Amen. Well, you can make anything an idol, couldn't you? And you can worship it. I see this commercial on TV all the time. This guy gets this really fancy car, and he's sitting in his office, and he's thinking, and he goes downstairs, and he looks at his car in the garage and clicks the button. Beep, and the lights go on and off. He puts it, and then he gets in and drives, and he goes around the block a few times, and he comes back in and goes back to work again. Anybody can make anything an idol. A car can be an idol. Anything that puts your mind above the knowledge of God or the praises of the Lord can become an idol. Your children can become an idol. You can make them the most important thing in life. Your grandchildren can make them the most important thing in life. And you can make anything an idol. Now, let's move along here. Cursed, verse 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother. How many people have ever said the GD word? You could dishonor God, right? I mean, how many have ever cursed and said the Lord's name in vain? Okay? Cursed is he who dishonors his heavenly father. You could dishonor God and be cursed. Or you could curse your earthly father or mother. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. Verse 18. Cursed is he who misleads the blind, a person on the road. Verse 19. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due to an alien, orphan, or widow. How many times have you seen a poor person in your congregation, a poor woman who is divorced and has three or four kids tagging along behind her, and she doesn't have enough to feed herself, let alone her children. And you know the right thing to do, and you don't do it. Iniquity. Cursed is he, verse 20, who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt. Verse 21, cursed is he who lies with an animal. Cursed is he, verse 22, who lies with his sister. Cursed is he, verse 23, who lies with his mother-in-law. Verse 24, cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. Verse 25, cursed is he who accepts the bribe and strikes down the innocent person. Verse 26, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And there's many, many more. There's many, many more. And that's just where God has cursed you. I mean, if you want to read them, read Deuteronomy 27 and 28, and there's a lot for you to read there. Please do that so that you're made aware of these things. Please do that. And because what we're going to do tonight is we're going to break some of these curses. We're going to break, in fact, I'm going to try to break as many as I possibly can tonight. But there's other curses where, that's where God curses man. There's other curses where man curses man. And I want you to see the difference. Man curses man. We see that in witchcraft, white magic, black magic, spells, incantations, impartations. We see that through the occult. And it's just as real today as it was in biblical days. I can guarantee you that. There was a woman who came up for prayer in the church that I go to. And she called me for prayer. And she said, "Would you pray for my son? My son has hiccups. And it can't get rid of it. The doctors can't get rid of it." And I said, "Sure. Just, come to my church on Sunday, and I'll pray for you, and I'll lay hands on your son and pray for your son, and let's see what the Lord does." So she came with her husband and her son and her daughter, and they all stood in front of me, and I went and laid hands on the son, and he was hiccuping, and I laid hands on the son, and I started to pray for the son's healing. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, and it was, now I was not praying for healing anymore, I was going into warfare. And he gave me a word of knowledge, witchcraft. And I just said, "I command you, spirit of witchcraft, to come out of this child in Jesus' name." And with that, the mother screamed, fell down on the floor, and started to squirm like a snake next to me. You see, she was involved. Later on, I find out she was not only her ancestors were involved in witchcraft, but there was a curse that was placed on her whole family by a Santeria witch, because that Santeria witch had an affair with her husband. And when he went back to his wife and his family, she put a contract out, a spiritual contract out, spent thousands of dollars for them to die. And this child started manifesting. And this unusual manifestation, hiccuping, can't stop. Doctors can't find the cure for it, can't find the reason for it. She was in accidents. She had lost a child. All these things were coming on her. And she was just spiritually a wreck. On the inside, on the outside, she was a born-again believing Christian, just like you and me. But yet, there was a diabolical curse put against her by a Santeria witch. So these things are actually real. Man can curse man. Man can curse man. Christians are not immune from someone throwing a curse on them. They're not immune. Especially, we do this in charismatic circles, too. I call it charismatic witchcraft. Where we could speak something evil about somebody, and it'll come to pass. That Mary, I hope there's no Marys in here. That Mary, she's no good. If there is, I cancel this in Jesus' name. That Mary, she's no good. Why, do you know what she did? She wore her skirt up to her thighs, and she tempted the pastor. Well, shame on her. But guess what? Shame will fall on her. Because you cursed her. You're a Christian. There's power in your words when you speak. When you speak, something happens in spiritual realms. So maybe she didn't really come there to tempt the pastor. And maybe she wasn't doing that. Maybe that was the only clean clothes she had that day. And she had to wear something to church. And yet, there you are, backbiting her, causing a curse to fall on her. And guess what? Sooner or later, that curse is going to land, and everything that you spoke will come to fruition. Every demon in hell heard that when you said that. Okay, we got the right now. A Christian said it. We can do it. And they do, and they land on that, and they take root. And sooner or later, that poor Mary, who was just wore a dirty dress to church and couldn't afford to wash her clothes that week or didn't have enough, all of a sudden, she's a loose woman, and she doesn't know why. She falls into temptation. So, please, understand that we're not immune to cursing. We're not immune to being cursed. There's power that comes out of our mouth when we speak. There's power in our tongue and our spoken word. It produces something in the supernatural realm. We loose. Matthew 16, verse 19 says, "What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We always think of that as blessing people. We always think of that as, oh, okay, Lord, I bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command him to be loosed in the name of Jesus Christ. We always take that scripture just for that spiritual warfare. But you can turn it the other way. You can loose a curse upon something, too, in the name of the Lord. You can turn it, as you're trying to be righteous. As you're trying to, do the right thing, you put a curse on somebody. So be careful what comes out of your mouth, brothers and sisters. James 3, listen to this now. James 3, 9 through 10 says this. With it, that's the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. You see, James was speaking to Christians. He wasn't speaking to heathens. He was speaking to Christians. With the tongue, he's saying, you could bless our Lord and Father, and with it you can curse men. So he's implying that with our tongue, Christians, we can curse men. How about this? How about this? Oh, that guy's an idiot. Ah, he's a jerk. And you're a Christian, and guess what you did? Out of your mouth. Guy may not be an idiot or a jerk, and all of a sudden he becomes one. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, what a loser he is. He'll never amount to anything. Don't waste your time with him, Sally. Well, guess what? You just put a curse on Sally's future husband. You understand what I'm saying? Watch out. Watch out. We don't want to misuse our spiritual power in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, please get rid of that music minister. He stinks, that music minister. Anybody ever? No, don't raise your hand on that one. I don't want to know that one. What you do is, boy, he put a curse on him, and sooner or later he starts to stink. You know, he doesn't play good music anymore. He doesn't worship the Lord anymore. He's just playing songs. So watch out what you're doing. Watch out what you're doing. Bam! That thing lands on a person. And it stays there. Well, Christians, let's go to personal curses among Christians take on two forms. I want to teach you this now. Christian witchcraft, the spiritual manipulation, domination, and control of others. This is Christian witchcraft. We do this in our churches. We can manipulate and control and dominate another person. And number two is Christian cannibalism, the spiritual devouring of another Christian. And both have to be stopped. God wants to bring light to Christian witchcraft tonight. He wants you to see what Christian witchcraft and Christian cannibalism are. And Christian curses. Here's an actual example of a Christian. Is there an actual example of it in the Bible, by the way? No. There's no actual example of a Christian cursing another Christian. Why? Because we're not supposed to. That's why. But it's implied throughout the whole Bible here. Galatians 3:1 and Galatians 5:15. Implying that. Now, Let's turn to Galatians and see. I want you to see this too. Are you guys getting hot in here? It is? Well, I don't know if it's the temperature or I'm hitting the mark. I don't know. Galatians. And go eat popcorn. Go. That's how I remember it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go eat popcorn. Are Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn, you Colossians. Right? Galatians. And we'll go to... We could go to Galatians 3, like Brother Glenn said. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, you can be bewitched. That's verse 1, by the way. Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. And then you go down to find out why they were bewitched. Their minds were changed. You see, all of a sudden somebody wanted to bring them back into the law. They were set free from the law. And so somebody wants to bring them back into the law so that they'll be in bondage to the law again. And so Paul writes to the Galatian church, who's bewitched you? Who's changed your mind? So you can be, your mind can be changed and bewitched. A whole church could be bewitched. This whole church, this Galatian church, could be bewitched. Was bewitched. Now go over to Galatians 5. And I want you to see something in print here. In Galatians 5:15. But if you, you're still in the Galatian church now, we're still speaking to Christians. Paul's still speaking to Christians. That's us today. Galatians 5:15. But if you, the Galatian church, bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. You see, there's something that happens. You can devour. That's Christian cannibalism. You can consume one another by biting and devouring one another. You can do that. James 3:8 writes, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. And when he explains it in verse 9, with it we bless and with it we curse. He was telling us that the tongue releases one of two spiritual forces here. We could either bless or we can curse with our tongue. By bringing the power of God into any situation, we could either bless or we can curse. We could either bless or we can curse. And so we could either call upon the power of hell, or we can call on the power of God with our tongue. As Christians, there's power behind it. We could loose a blessing on somebody, or we could loose a curse on somebody. So be very careful. Thank you, brother. How did you know I needed that? Are you a prophet? All right. So we could either release God, or we could release the devil. The tongue can release good, or it can release evil. It can release life, or it can release death. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You could either release life or death. You could either release healing, or you can release hurt. The tongue can release angels and messengers of God for a blessing, or demons, messengers of Satan, for a curse. It could do that. Christians who attempt to use the word of God, prayer, or fellowship to hammer another Christian with are using witchcraft on them. I want to repeat that. Because I've been in circles of people who have gathered hands together and they're praying. I'm going to use another name now, Mary. Any Marys in here? Did I use Mary before? Let's keep on using that name. Any Marys? Good. Okay, no Marys in here. Thank you. I break this curse in Jesus' name before I even start. Let's pray for Sister Mary. Illustration. And so everybody gathers around and prays for Sister Mary. And so we're saying, oh, dear Lord, Sister Mary. Well, I want to pray for her because her children are so bad. And her children are so bad, she must be doing something wrong. But Lord, you can help her. You can help her. And so, Lord, we pray that Mary will stop sleeping around and we will pray that you can help her. And so what you do is you hammer this other Christian. You're hammering her. You know, and Mary may be sitting in the chair here and you got your hand on her and you're praying, but you're hammering her with the word of God. You're not blessing her. You're laying curses on her. So there's a way to pray for people and bless them, and there's a way to hammer them. Let's try to understand the difference. We don't want Mary to be controlled and dominated and manipulated because your prayers did that. What that is just witchcraft. And the people that are doing that don't even know they're doing it. They don't even know. Christians don't even know that you're doing it. But you're doing it. Sometimes you're doing it. How about you have an ulterior motive. You have a secret motive for getting Mary to do something. Now, here's another good example. You can manipulate, control, and dominate Mary by using the name of the pastor. How do you do that? Well, I was sitting with Pastor Bob the other day, and we thought it was a good idea that you would help out with the flower arrangements in the church. Well, so, you know, she may have been sitting with Pastor Bob the other day, but Pastor Bob knows nothing about Mary helping with the flower arrangement. You see what I'm saying? So you can misuse. Well, that's actually the spirit of Jezebel. All right, that's the spirit of Jezebel when somebody uses another person's power and to control and dominate and manipulate somebody to do something. So that's also witchcraft too. All right, so let's go on. So we have Christians trying to conform to their own will or the will of someone else because of domination, control, and manipulation. So that's a practice. If you find yourself doing that, stop doing it right away. If you find yourself doing that because you have an impure motive or an ulterior motive, just stop doing it and confess it as sin. And let's move along here. Let's skip that one. Okay. Have any of you ever wished harm to come upon another person? How about Saddam Hussein? Oh, my goodness. Did I hit another hot button? All right. I'm just me, or is it you, too? All right. You know, if you wish harm upon another person, if you wish God's judgment to fall on another person, if you want God's judgment to start falling on another person, you are actually cursing them. Did God ever say to do that? No, He said something different. Jesus said something different. He said, bless those that curse you. You see, we forget. We see with the eyes of the world, and we forget. We forget that we're supposed to be acting like Christians. And we start cursing. That's Saddam Hussein. Boy, somebody ought to cut his head off and hang him upside down and shoot him 10 times. You see? And all of a sudden, we're not living and acting and speaking like Christians anymore. We're cursing in full view of the body of Christ. And everybody else is saying, amen to it, brother. Amen, sister. So, let's stop doing that too. Let's stop speaking maliciously against each other and stop backbiting each other. Because we could fall victim to that ourselves and be devoured ourselves. The choice is ours. Whose tongue? Our tongue will help. Either God or we're going to help the devil. One of the two. We could use it to bless and to fill up with God's blessings and good things, literally heaping blessings upon a person, or we could use it to curse men, to wish them harm or a catastrophe upon them. We could... The similarities are really something here. The similarities of blessings and cursings both initiate and are imparted through human beings. We do that, okay? We could do the bless or curse. So it's imparted through human beings, and they both, believers and unbelievers, seem to have the ability to do it. Both of use various forms of spoken word to convey their intentions, whether good or evil. Both can call upon a supernatural power to form a spiritual solicitation. One legitimate blessing and one illegitimate cursing. Okay. As a blessing is sent out for one, so a curse can be sent out for another. Paul writes us in a warning in Galatians 5:15 about devouring one another. We should take heed to that. And we shouldn't do that. Cannibalism. And so I want to skip over a bunch here and just go right into it. How about this one? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me. Anybody ever hear that one? Well, guess what? Names do harm you. They hurt. When they land, they hurt. Sticks and stones do break your bones, and names do harm you. Proverbs 25:18 declares that, like a club or an axe and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. You see, if you bear false witness against your neighbor, you lie against somebody and defame them or say bad things about them, you're like a sword, a spear, a club against them, against that person. And so they do hurt. Words do hurt. Let's go to Ephesians. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4. Are you still, is it hot in here? Or is my words hitting the mark? I think both. Hot. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So we can see here that the devil can have an opportunity. He can get into your heart with anger. And the process is clear. Anger leads to demonic activity. How about this? You go to bed angry at your husband, at your wife, at your friend, at your job, at something that happened to you. You go to bed angry and you wake up the next morning feeling a whole lot better, don't you? No. You wake up worse. You wake up angrier. Matter. retaliation time coming up. You see? And so you wake up and you've given the devil an opportunity and a foothold into your life. And he comes in and he starts you with anger, rage, murder. That's how it starts. He gets a foothold in there. How about you never woke up one day and said you wanted to be an axe murderer, did you? No. How about the people that did? They woke up one day and said, how did I get here in jail? Well, it started somewhere. It started a little bit at a time. So you can give the devil an opportunity into your life. You open up the door, or your ancestors open up the door, and all of a sudden the devil's in, and he's got an opportunity. So you can give the devil an opportunity. We're going to deal with it quickly. And so be on the guard against self-righteous anger, because it's just a trick of the enemy. Be on the guard towards bitterness. Let me sum this up here. Let me just sum it up. What you reap, you will sow. What you reap, you'll sow. What your ancestors reap, you're sowing. I mean, what your ancestors sowed, you're reaping today. So let's go on to just breaking some curses. What do you say? All right? Let's move along to that. Let's everyone stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, some of you, I don't know if everybody in here is saved, and I don't know if you know if you may have said the salvation prayer 10 times and you really don't know if you're saved, but I just want to say it again, and hopefully if you're not saved and if you haven't really accepted Christ as Savior, I want to nail it down for you tonight. Let's all say this together. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. My ancestors were sinners. And I ask that you forgive them of their sins, of their iniquities, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Heavenly Father, I ask that you forgive me of all my sin, my transgressions, and my iniquities. And I break and cancel every one of them in Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart and save me of all my sins, my transgressions, and my iniquities. And I apply your blood to my life to break every sin, every transgression, and every iniquity that came upon me all the way back 10 generations. And I command every demon that I inherited on the 10th generation of my father and my mother to come out of me now. In Jesus' name. I want everyone to take a deep breath and just let it out. Let it out. Go. In the name of Jesus. Out. In Jesus' name. Every curse and every demon that came on you in the 10th generation. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I command out of me every curse and every demon on the 9th generation to come out of me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. And let it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out every demon, every curse that came upon you in the 9th generation. Be broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. And every demon that was assigned to that curse to leave on that 9th generation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Some of you are yawning, coughing. That's okay. That's how they come out. I command out of me every spirit that came upon me in the 8th generation. And I cancel the curse and all curses that came upon me on the eighth generation, and every demon that was assigned to those curses to leave me now. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and let it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Out every spirit that came in on the eighth generation. Every curse be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. What you're doing is you're applying the blood of Jesus to these areas now. On the seventh generation. Say this, on the seventh generation. On my father and mother's side. I command all curses to fall off of me now. To be broken. And every demon that were assigned to those curses on the seventh generation to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Be broken now in the name of Jesus. Every curse on the seventh generation. Every demon on the seventh generation. Go in Jesus' name. I command out of me now. All spirits on the sixth generation that came upon me through my ancestors, and I break every curse on the sixth generation on my father's side, on my mother's side. And I command all demons to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out every curse, every demon on the sixth generation. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I command out of me all demons that were assigned to me on the fifth generation. And I command all curses to be broken off of me now. In the fifth generation, on my father's side, on my mother's side. And I command all demons to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Go. Cough them out. Blow them out. Go. Every curse, every demonic force that came on you on the fifth generation. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I break every curse on the fourth generation and all demons that came upon me on my father's side, on my mother's side. And I command every demon and every curse to fall off of my generational line now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Cough them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Every curse, every demon on the fourth generation. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. 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 I command out of me all demons on the third generation. And all curses on that generation, my father's side, and my mother's side, and every demon that was assigned to me and my generational line, I command them to leave me now. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and let them go. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Now. Go in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Go out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I break every curse on the second generation. And every demon that was assigned to me on the second generation to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Go, every spirit on the second generation. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in Jesus' name. Out, every demon. Go in the name of Jesus on the second generation. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I break every curse on the first generation, on my father, on my mother's side. And I command every demon that I inherited from them, and every curse that came down through them to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let them go. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. 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 Okay. Hallelujah. Now we got rid of generational curses. Now let's go to yours, the ones that you open the door with. I command out of me, every spirit of idolatry, stubbornness, rebellion, witchcraft. I command them to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let them go. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Get out. Out. Every spirit of idolatry, stubbornness. I won't do it. I won't do it. Well, you know the right thing to do and you didn't do it. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave in Jesus' name. Every spirit of witchcraft, manipulation, controlling of others. Go in the name of Jesus. Spiritual witchcraft, Christian witchcraft. That's right, when you dominated and control other Christians in church. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.